off here. And our Lord is going to mention two incidents where people died or that kind of thing. And in chapter 13, verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, Pilate going after them. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered these things. In other words, these Galileans died a martyr's death kind of thing. And they died. Now, does that mean that they're greater sinners because they died that way? Verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So you don't want to look at that. Death can happen to anybody. The problem is repentance, a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem just because they happened to be in that place when the tower fell and they all died? I tell you, verse 5, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So you've got to have a relationship. And if you don't exercise it, and understand you need to change and see it for what it is, then no matter how you die, the problem is, did you repent? Do you believe? Over to chapter 15 of Luke. And in chapter 15, remember the illustration the Lord uses of the sheep. And if I can, picking up, please, in verse 5, 15 and 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders and rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice for me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. So I'm looking for that. And again, you'll pick it up in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over how many? Just one sinner that repenteth. Somebody that owns up to think the way things really are and doesn't kid themselves at all. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, please, to Jeremiah and chapter 14. And in Jeremiah chapter 14, you have an autobiography, if you like, of Jeremiah. And he's filling in. He is praying. He's caring. He's part of Israel. He is of a priestly family, and in Judah, and in the process, he is trying to. God is using him to seek to awaken Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, and they are not responding. And so Jeremiah, now going back in history, he makes a point. Chapter 14, 1 through 6, we share together. There was a great drought between Josiah and Jehoiakim, between the two of them, the drought, more than likely. Now, that drought was so bad that the earth and everyone, the ground was cracking so dry, there was no food, no water. Everything was in turmoil, to say the least. When that happens, that is very difficult and dangerous as far as trying to find life without any water. Now, so they did all that, And the people, God did that. We shared that, all that together. That God allowed droughts, and He makes allows them and brings them to pass, so that people would understand it isn't the outside, it's the inside of your heart that you need to understand. Since you don't pay attention to the inside, and you do pay attention to the outside, then I'm going to go and make the outside very, very active and volatile. You're going to have a lot of going on, so that you're going to have to realize, boy, you have to look outside and say, things are terrible. Why are they terrible? And you're going to analyze and make a diagnosis, prognosis of what's going on, and you're going to say that and see that. Now, if you are going to pay attention, the problem isn't out here in the drought and all the material things. The problem is your heart. You need to change and repent in your heart. And they just wouldn't see that in spite of the drought. So now, Jeremiah says his heart is all broken up over it. And in chapter 13, if I may, going back a bit, chapter 13 and verse 17, remember the darkness. And the people were going from dark to darker to darker and darker and darker. And it wasn't going to get any better. They just would keep going in the wrong direction. So verse 17, Jeremiah, "But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places." Why? For your pride. What is the problem? It's your pride. "And mine eyes shall see, weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." So A, your pride is going to produce what? It's going to produce a captivity by way of Babylon. And all of you people are either going to die or be taken captive and made captives by Babylon. So he's weeping over that, and he bitterly weeps over that because of God's flock. And while you're here in chapter 13, verse 11, what else was there? Well, the people were in the place, and let me go up just a bit to verse 10. "This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing." And you go back up to up in verse 7, the end. The girdle, when it was pulled out of the ground, all rotten, it was profitable for nothing. The end of verse 10, it was good for nothing. The people, because of their pride, are good for nothing. Good for nothing. An utter waste of humanity. An utter waste for being alive on planet Earth. Such a tragedy. Now, and in the light of that, since they aren't paying attention, and Jeremiah is, which we're going to try to put that together if we can. So here's our existence. Jeremiah, you're looking, you're a Jew, priestly family, there you are. And you're concerned for the people, very much so. And in the process of that, in the process of caring and sharing, you're trying to help them wake up. But they aren't waking up. They aren't interested in waking up. And you can't quite walk away from the problem. In other words, Jeremiah, you can't go move to South America and start a new life. You're caught in the middle. There's no way out, and God doesn't intend to be. You're there to serve God's wonderful purpose and to warn the people of Israel that you're part of. If you could just escape to the little island of somewhere, life would be so much easier, and there's no more cares, there's no more government, there's no more all kinds of things, it's all gone, and we can just have a wonderful relief. But, Jeremiah, life isn't like that. Life isn't like that. You can't do that. So you're caught up with the people. You're caught up with the problem. And you're a caring person. You're a concerned person. You have a personal involvement by your very existence there. In fact, they're trying to kill you. Your own family and the priestly family of your town are trying to kill you. And they're going to put you in prison more than once. They're going to put you in a muck hole like you did in the conference. They're going to put you in a muck hole. That's what they're going to do. And Jeremiah, it isn't easy, but you're there and you're part of the thing and you're caring. So here he's going to go and pray. Now, so here we are in our own world. Now, how do we escape? Where do we go? We go to Canada? No, can't go there. And we go down to Mexico or such? We can't go there. So where are we going to go? Well, where did we go? Where do we try to go to avoid a global community? That means the whole world is in movement, flux, all movement. So there's nowhere to go. So we're part of the system. We're humans. We're part of the system. And in the system we live in, what are we watching? The more we become awake and alert and alive, as we ought to, we realize what? That humanity, people, as we watch, in all kinds of ways now, our government and all kinds of deception and all kinds of stuff that's horrible. So who knows anything anymore? You have to almost go to Europe and hear the news to see if you can find out what's going on in America. It's so bad. Now, in the light of that, so here we are in the people, and we're in the middle of it, and the people are caught up and being carried along. They're captive. They're being captivated by the system, caught up in it, and they're being captured by the system that captivates them. So there they are, and they're caught, and their existence, their human existence, they're totally missing out. Luke 13, they're going to die. And they're going to die without repentance. That's what's going to happen. Everyone you know, work, home, school, neighborhood, all those people, if they are not saved, they're going to die in their sins, are they not? Your family is going to die in their sins. That's what they're going to do if they aren't saved. They're going to die in their sin, no matter how you cut the cookie. And they don't know it. They don't care. Now, so here's Jeremiah, and here's our system, and we're part of it. And we have to understand either we're going to be carried by it and not care about it, and who cares, which is the problem, part of it, but you are going to try to care, I hope. And in caring, you're going to realize that it's cost you to care, but it isn't going to do any pay off. There's no benefits from it. So here we are looking, and the world system is encouraged and motivated by the government, by music, by Facebook, all the stuff, news. Someone told me the other day, I didn't realize that, they get most of their news from Facebook. And Facebook has already programmed only what news they want to give you and the way they want to give it to you. So that's all you get. All you get is the sky is green, and so you go away and the sky is green, because that's what you were told. That'd be like the guys in the Iraqi thing with the Iran. You know, all of them, with a fellow that told them, had all the people giving you reports about Iran and the so-called treaty to give them, let them build do what they do. We'll give them $150 billion and hopefully they'll be nice. And in the process of that, it was all a scam. They had all of the people giving us reports that were not true at all. They weren't true. They were given, they carried the reports, and this one gave a testimony, that one gave a testimony how good it was, and it wasn't good at all. But, so here we are, God. Now, so here's the music, here's Facebook, and all of these things, and people are caught up in them, and they caught up, and if you have anything going for you, I would think you care. You care when the gender problem and the gay problem and all of these different things that are eating away at all common sense and everything that gives you any kind of stability to insanity for in earthly existence normally as a country. All of those things are being taken and driven. And if you didn't understand that, if you lived in Sodom and Gomorrah back then, could you imagine what that was like? Sodom and Gomorrah. Be like some other places in our country. Wow. That's what it's like. And you wouldn't want to be there. Wow. So now, here we are with all of these things going on, and people are there, and they aren't. You're trying to care, you're trying to say, get involved, and try to help them, and but you can't do a thing about it. You can't change anything. And it keeps going where it's going. And here's Jeremiah. Jeremiah is caring, understandably. And so my thing I'm trying to get across to myself is that the people aren't thinking. They don't want to think, like in Romans 1 and 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they turned away. So God, here we are looking, and in the process, darkness, the world loves darkness rather than light. They don't want light. And they change darkness to light and light to darkness, Isaiah 5:20 and all of that, turn it all upside down. And in the process, they find you have to have a reason, so a reason for the season. And you got to go, and you have to understand that you need to be a person. So am I going to be content with what goes and how it goes? Or am I going to get out of bed and wonder why I get out of bed? To belong, to become, to be something? What am I going to be? What am I going to do after I do this and after I do that? And you want to have some, you want to fit in, you want to be accounted, you want to have some part. That you're accepted, etc. And we're caught up in all of that kind of thing to be recognized, etc., by the world. And the world system, as you know, that you live in. And people ask, well, how come it's like it is? Well, that's all you got to do is do a couple of steps backwards and follow it to the front here. And you understand you can't have, since 1800s, you can't have at least that. You can't have evolution. You're nothing but an overgrown accident, blob. You can't have communism, dialectic materialism, communism, which is the same thing. You're materialism, you're no more than just a blob, material, that's all you are. Material thing that happens to move and is creative. And so here's that, and then you have the Sigmund Freud and Freudian psychology and all that. And be human, be happy at whatever cost it takes, and that's that. So we got that. So we're evolved nothing, and we're going to be happy no matter what, doesn't matter how or whatever. And we have the materialistic world we're living in now, humanism where there's no need for God. And we line all those up, and that's what college and schools teach. Now, what would you expect to find after 4 years, 8 years, 4 years, over and over again? What do you expect to find from people if that's all they know? Even if they didn't get into it, that's what they were told, and they never bothered finding out one way or the other or anything else. So now, having said that little bit, so God, here we are, and before I do, no, we'll do it the other way. Over in Jeremiah chapter 14, so here's Jeremiah's very awesome thoughts. We'll give you one of them. Now, remember, he's caring, and he's looking out. Now, what's the problem? Israel is not facing up to the reality. Their pride cripples them. They won't be. Their relationship to God is zero. There's only one God and only one Savior. And humans don't know Him. Think of all the people that you meet that have no personal knowledge or relationship to God. None. Zero. Zero. Wow. They don't have any. And therefore God must not exist, or you need to try religion. So now, here's Jeremiah, verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many, and we have sinned against thee. God, our iniquities, remember he's an intercessor, and he's looking, and he's part of the Israel. Remember, Paul, Romans chapter 9, 1, 2, 3, 4. Paul said, I could wish myself accursed if Israel would just get saved. I would put myself in a terrible place of judgment if I could save Israel. But I can't save Israel. Caring won't change, help people. Repentance does. They need repentance. So here's the caring. Now we got that. And Jeremiah cares. He said, our iniquities, he hasn't got a problem with that. Our iniquities testify against us. Do thou it for thy name's sake, for the backslidings of many, and we have sinned against thee. So here's Jeremiah, and he's facing up to the fact that the nation Judah and Jerusalem are sinners, and their iniquities are many, 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 many. They're backsliding. The word backsliding is the word apostasy. Their apostasies are many, 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 many. And we have sinned against you, God. It isn't a problem against us. It's against you. So now, having said that little bit, let's go and see if we can exercise in a minute or two here. Over, if you would please, to pick up the thought. I'm going to go back in history, and here's Hosea. Hosea's back here, and here's the 10 tribes in the north, Israel, 10 tribes, Ephraim. And here's Josiah. Now, Josiah is there pointing at them, trying to help them, and he's going to keep living a little longer after 722 B.C., after the 10 tribes are taken into the Assyrian captivity. So, here's Hosea. And I'm interested, Hosea, what did you tell those guys? What did you tell them? I'm looking at Jeremiah. That's 100 years later. I want to go back. Okay, over to Hosea and chapter 14. Now, what is going to have to happen... Remember, he said, people die all kinds of ways. It isn't death that's the issue. It's whether they repented. They aren't going to die because they aren't a problem because they die. There's a problem because they don't repent. That's the problem. So now, here's Hosea, chapter 14, up there looking at, as we would, up in the 10 tribes in the north, picking up in verse 1. 14:1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say to him. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to go to God and you're going to confess. You're going to talk to God. That's right. Jeremiah, what are you doing? I'm talking to God on behalf of the people of Israel. Chapter 14, verse 1. Return. Verse 2, take with you words, 14:2, and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. So, God, we can't change till you help us. And we're coming to you, and we're going to tell you about our iniquity. Now, what did Jeremiah just say? Our iniquities are many, our backslidings are much more. So, God, we got a problem. So, what are you telling Hosea? What do they do? What does Israel need to do? They need to tell God they got a problem with iniquity, sin, punishment, guilt. Verse 3. Us Asher, that's Assyria, shall not save us. So if you're looking to get out of it, no, Assyria is going to take you captive. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon the horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. In other words, we aren't going to try to escape. We aren't going to try to run away from reality, etc. And the work of our hands, what should we say any more to the work of our hands, all our idols and everything else? You are our gods. In other words, we made idols and religious thinking and philosophy, and we called it God. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. So you know, God, they need to come honestly before God and confess that their whole system, that's the same as in Jeremiah and Judah, only now it's earlier. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto the Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his fruits as Lebanon, great rooted trees, lily, many, many, many of them. And in the process, verse 6, his branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. In other words, I'm going to do a wonderful thing. You just have to turn around. That's what I want you to do. I didn't ask you to make anything happen. I asked you to turn around and be real about the whole thing. When I kept you in the wilderness, I did that in my grace and mercy, and you didn't ask anything. I kept your shoes, your health, clothing. You had never a need any way, shape, or form. It never existed one. One didn't exist for you except your relationship to God. And so now, here's Israel, and Israel needs to go and understand that God is able to go and make wonderful things happen, but you have to honor him. We have the sun, the rain, the drought, all of that. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from us. We don't control the weather. The weatherman doesn't control the weather, doesn't control drought, it doesn't control bugs, it doesn't control disease, it doesn't control any of it. We don't control it. We just try to live in it and around it and try to handle those things. We live in them. Now, so God, it's you. That's right. But you got to have your heart right, and you got to do that. And when you do, I honor it. And that's what Hosea, that's how he ends. You got to confess, repent, say things as they are in your pride, drop your pride, and see things as they are, and stop kidding yourself. Now, and in verse 8, Ephraim shall say, that's the 10 tribes in the north, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him and God, and I am like a green fir tree, from me is thy fruit found. And so the relationship to God is going to produce the fruit that is needed. And who is wise and shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and just, and the just shall walk in them, for the transgressors shall fall therein. So now, that's Hosea. And he told them the same message. He prayed for them. And he told them, you got to repent. You got to say this to God. But they didn't want to say that to God. So they ended up in the Assyrian captivity. So now, go back. We'll come forward. Go past Jeremiah on the other side of the Babylonian captivity and see how they're doing. Because here's Hosea and the 10 tribes in the north, they didn't. And here's Jeremiah, the two tribes. J- Judah and Benjamin. And now, and then they're going to go into the Babylonian captivity because they didn't, they wouldn't repent. They didn't get, they wouldn't change their act. They wouldn't change their attitude. Nothing changed. So what happens? Now, over, if you would, to Ezra. In Ezra, if you would. And in chapter 9. Ezra, chapter 9. And you'll remember from our study in Joshua Sunday. I'll read it because you'll pick up the names right off. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now when these things were done, that the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. Verse 2. They have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mixed themselves with the people of the lands. In other words, there is no clear worship of God because they're caught up into idols and idolatry. With the people of the land, verse 2, yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass, so the leaders led them there. Verse 3, and when I heard this thing, I rent my garments and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and my beard, and sat down astonished. In other words, boy, verse 4. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, only they're the only ones that are going to listen, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, I was astonished until the evening sacrifice. So here's Ezra. And Ezra is very much like Jeremiah, all concerned. And this time it's a little different because the people realize, not just in Jeremiah, it's Jeremiah basically going to be using just him, understanding this Daniel and that kind of person. And but in Jeremiah, you've got a group of people that are concerned. So now, Jeremiah's prayer. What are you going to pray, Jeremiah? And in chapter 9, verse 6, and I said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities. There we are again. Iniquities, guilt, sin, punishment. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heavens. And God, the whole thing is a very public thing, all the way to heaven. Verse 7. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And our iniquities, we never seem to get rid of them. When we, back in Jeremiah and Hosea, our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, have delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, to confusion of face, as it is this day. Now, for a little moment, grace has been shown because we're trying to fix things. That's grace. And now, a little moment has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, going back to the Jerusalem, and to give us a nail in His holy place, and our God that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage, for we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy each time unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. So God, you've given them a little space, and as back to, over to been you've been able to come back into the land, a group of people, 70,000 or so, coming back, and you're going to build the temple, and you're going to do all those things. It's not a lot, but it's something. Now, but I'd like to add to it in that same thing quickly, picking up in verse 13. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hath punished us less than our iniquities. There's your iniquities again. Our iniquities deserve, chop your head off. But you didn't chop our head off. We all deserved more. We deserved more. But you didn't do that like we shared Sunday. Now, in verse 13, seeing that thou, middle of verse 13, thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hath given us such deliverance as this. Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations, shouldst not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? Well, God, we deserve what? Oh, God. Verse 15, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. We remain yet escaped, here we are, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. So, Jeremiah, what are you going to do? Ezra, what are you going to do? We're going to have to change, repent, fix some stuff. All right? Chapter 10 and verse 1. And now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of people, this time they're working at it, of men and women, and this is after the captivities. So they have all those lessons to learn. And the end of verse 1. Is there a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. So, we have a different position. We didn't have that with Hosea. We don't have that with Jeremiah. But, here's Ezra, and Ezra's looking to God, brokenhearted, caring. But other people care so that something can be done. And when other people care, something can be done, at least in that framework. Now, you can't do that. You can't have revivals. You can have a revival. I shouldn't say that. You can't have the revivals of the 1700s. You can't have them where whole cities and areas of New England were all changed. Wow. Wow. It's an awesome thing that they did. And God was working all over the place. And because people responded. People lined up to get to church in New York to get a seat to hear the Word of God. Wow. I mean, it's a different world. You don't have that crowd anymore. You don't have that kind of people anymore. It's different. Therefore, you can't have what you used to have. You could pray for it. It isn't going to happen. Because you got a different world. And the world's headed strongly, just like the 10 tribes in the north, we're not going to change. The 2 tribes in the south are not going to change. And not until the whole thing, tribulation, and then they change. So now, here's Ezra. Now, God, here we are looking. So we want to go and exercise now in the light of that. That's just a starting point. We didn't get very far. But you're caring, and you ought to care. And there's nothing wrong with caring. You don't want to get overly wrought by it, overly care. You want to care with understanding. The world is what it is. The world system, what you should be amazed at, it didn't get worse sooner. That's what you should be thankful for. You should be thankful. The generation going up, if the Lord is going to tarry for us and the world, has to work out. It's not going to be a picnic. It's going to be a different world. Different world. There's no way around it. No. So it's there, but people don't know what I'm talking about, so it won't make any difference. But, so now, over, if you would, to get that, Over, please. Remember we said in the beginning, the problem, concern. The human beings, family, friends, work, home, neighbors, the people that you contact in some form or way, one way or another, how many of them have a know a God in a personal way? Not many. And that's a concern. It ought to be. It's a good concern. Now you can't. You only can help those that have an ear to hear and want to hear. You can't help people that don't want to get helped. But we want to be in the place to care. So I don't want to lose the care. I understand, though, in the caring, it doesn't make people saved. All the tears and all the care in the world will not make people saved. They have to repent. That's what they got to do. They don't repent. Father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter won't make any difference. They got to repent or else. It's the way it is. Now, over to 1 John. First John, if I can, in chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. And would you note, please? I'm going to go directly, if I can, to verse 15. 2 and 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what is the cost? What are you concerned about? The believer is concerned about what? You have no relationship to God. More than that. Better than that. You have no relationship to God the Father. You all have fathers and they all die. There is a Father that doesn't die, and He's your Creator. And you need to know Him. You need to know Him. Father. How many can say Father to the only God and only Savior there is? For real. Oh, I don't know. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just trying to tell you where it is. You have no Father. Father, that's what you're missing out. You're unsaved, if you don't repent, you can't. How are you going to ever know the Father? The Father is forever the Father. Okay, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's an awesome thing to abide forever, wonderfully, wonderfully forever. Now, to say the Father, the Father, the Father, the Father. Over to chapter 1 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And if I may, verse 1. Now remember, John, you have to turn there. What is the Gospel of John? Why, God, did you have the last living apostle write what he did about John? He wrote John. Why did you use John? To show what? Jesus Christ is God. You need to know Jesus Christ so you can know what? God. And you know God how? As the Father. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That purpose which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Mm-hmm. That's talking. And here's Peter, James, and John. They're all gone. But you're telling us that the same relationship they have to the Father, we here on earth still have the same. We who are still on earth have the same relationship. That may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. A wonderful, wonderful, unique relationship to God. So, as we walk in the light, verse 7, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Father, we're all sharing the same life, same Lord, same love. And as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us from all sin. So that's an awesome thing, God. Now, and did we pick up from Jeremiah and Hosea? And, yes, we did, in Ezra, verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's what Israel needed to do. That's what Judah needed to do. That they don't do it. They don't do that. They didn't see as it really is. They didn't do it from the heart. And therefore, they didn't have the benefit. What are you telling us? We ought to do it. Why? Because we know You. And we aren't going to hide anything. God, You already know our heart. If we say, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So it's stupid to say, to sit here, anywhere. To sit there and say, oh, we don't need to think right. Our pride ruins us because we don't want to think that we are deceived. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the world is not in us. So God, we want to be. That's what you're looking for. From Israel? Looking from Judah? You're looking for it. That's right. But I'm not getting it. Is that what you're looking for? That's what I am. I want you to care. You're going to care, but it isn't going to change them. But you ought to care. You ought to care so you're on the same page as I am. So that if I don't care about your relationship to God, I don't care about mine. Understand? If I'm not sensitive to your need to have a relationship to God, then I'm not sensitive to my own need. And I'm not going to care about my own need. And God, it helps me. It helped Jeremiah. It helped Hosea. It helps Daniel. It helps them to have that with it. I want to be in the same page with God. We're fighting a war. I don't want to be in the... there's no neutral. I'm either for you or against you, God. There's no neutral. I want to be for you. So the whole thing... Where am I for? I'm for God. I'm for right, for truth, for light. I'm for Him, period. No matter who, what, when, where, how, I'm for God. So in my heart, out of my heart, I need to be for God. So there's no question. I'm going to take that side no matter what. And so now, over, if you would, in closing, over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. So God, here we are looking, and we want to be, understand what? That the Lord Jesus Christ has said that He is the only Savior. He bore our sins in His own body in the tree, etc. And we're going to care. We need to care. I don't want to be indifferent at all. And in chapter 5, and in verse 13, these things have I written unto you, 5 and 13, what for? That you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Why do I need to believe in the name of the Son of God? These things are written, they're written so that I can believe. So verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. Verse 12. Now, verse 20. And we know all, it's all about knowing. It isn't hoping, it's about knowing. Knowing. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, this is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. What's there to say? He that hath the Son has life. So it is. So God, it's there. We just want to practice it. So God and Jeremiah, that's what he's doing. We aren't going to change the world. You aren't going to fix 1,000 things that are going to be happening and are happening. They just keep going. And you wish it were different. And no one cares. No one likes the consequences of the cost and the consequences. But hey, it's the way it is. And therefore, we're caring. And we care because people are squandering their existence, their humanity. They're squandering time, moments of days and hours, and living totally disconnected from our relationship to eternity, to God. Instead of enjoying all the benefits which makes the people want to know the Lord as a Savior, or hate you, they're going to love one way or the other, they're going to want to kill you or get saved. That's what's going to happen, because your benefits, they can't take them, so they're going to kill you. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So God, here we are. So now, God, deal with us according to your grace, and we're caring. God, you care. Does anyone care? God cares. God cares. And like you said, we don't want to have a pronouncement, and they were good for nothing. The humans were good for nothing. They missed out. They had no value. No value. They could have, but they didn't. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. Wow. Anyway, we'll pray. Perhaps you have a particular request. Remember the country. Remember the men and women.